This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Good to be with you. Hello.
And you know, Bridget, we had a little promotion a week or two ago now where Amazon Smile, we're always telling you about that, gave us 10 times our normal amount.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people step up and spend generously, which we greatly appreciate.
Yeah, I did just about all my Christmas shopping.
And so if you did some of that, that helped us out. That's a great deal. If you didn't, you're probably going to sooner or later be using Amazon. Anyhow, if you just go to Amazon Smile, or you can turn it around, Smile Amazon. Either way, you'll get to a page. All it's going to ask you is your email and what charity you want to support or something like that. It's that simple. And once you pick Catholic Radio Indy, be sure to Catholic Radio Indy. Once you pick that, then every time you shop on Amazon for anything at all, if you use Amazon Smile, it doesn't cost you a penny more. We just get a small percentage of everything you do. And we get nice checks on that every quarter from Amazon.com. So again, we're not telling you to use Amazon. We're saying if you do use Amazon, use Amazon Smile. And then every time you use a computer, if you're using the same computer you signed up on, it prompts you. If you forget and just go to regular old Amazon, by the time you get over to the checkout, it says, whoops, did you mean to use smile.amazon?
Yeah, that really does happen. I've done that a couple times, and it got me back to where I needed to be.
It does. So Amazon Smile, or Smile Amazon, either way, and then pick Catholic Radio Indy, and you'll be helping us out every time you buy anything at all. And it won't be a disaster.
No, it won't be a disaster. What a great segue.
I said that for a reason.
It might be a disaster for me, but I have trouble with my online things. But we're actually going to be talking about disasters and disaster relief and disaster response. So my guest today is Bill McDonald. He is a disaster response coordinator. You're with the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you, Bridget. Wonderful to be here.
And so this is a topic I've never covered as a journalist. I've never talked about it, and I'm very fascinated to learn more about it.
You know, that's not one of the first things that come to mind when you think of Knights of Columbus. I mean,
no.
You think of Knights of Columbus as being in the parish and, you know, doing all kinds of hands-on things for the parish. You think of Tootsie Rolls after Mass. You think of Special Olympics, but not disasters.
No, and I'm always amazed by all the things that the Knights do. I mean, like the Catholic Church is so awesome in that it's just treasure. And I feel like the Knights of Columbus are a treasure. There's a treasure for us because they do so many things, and a lot of it kind of flies under the radar, in my opinion. But you're doing all the good works of the Lord, right?
Correct. Yep.
So what exactly is disaster preparedness? And maybe talk a little bit about your role with that and then how the Knights are connected with that. I give you three questions, right?
Yep, all the ones.
Yeah.
Well, disaster preparedness is basically being ready for the unexpected. And the Knights of Columbus, being an organization of unity and fraternity, we look to take care of our brother Knights and then from there take care of our community. So if we are too busy in a disaster taking care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to take care of the community. So preparedness prepares us as Knights and we to be ready for that disaster so we can quickly respond not only to our brothers but then again to the community.
So the you had mentioned before we got started here, you mentioned something about being the supreme organization of the Knights of Columbus. They give each state they give them some guidelines for disaster preparedness, and how does that work?
Yes, the original idea came from Supreme, and they just give us the general overview outline of, you know, hey, disaster preparedness. This is a program that we should all get involved in, and each state kind of develops from that their own program based on their needs and their ability to respond. Here in Indiana, we looked at it as being, one, the primary source is education. Educate our members, educate the community on the importance of being prepared. The better prepared you are, the better you are to weather the storm, the disaster. to be a survivor rather than a victim.
Mm-hmm.
So our main goal is to educate and make people aware of the importance of preparedness. It's just like the Army and the our police, you know, they always train. So when something happens, it's second nature. And that's basically the same as disaster preparedness. Your family prepares a plan and practices that plan. So when a disaster strikes, you are doing what you need to do to save yourself from injury or possibly death. It becomes second nature.
Now, what sort of disasters are you talking about?
Any kind of disaster, natural, man-made, be it flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes, a chemical plant explosion, anything that's generic to your locale mm-hmm. that may happen in your area. Each area is a slightly different,
sure.
But all hurricanes are similar. There's always the same, tornadoes the same way, flooding's the same way. There's a common thread in all that, but yet again, your locality mm-hmm. just might be slightly different.
Sure. So, well, that's where an organization like the Knights is really valuable, because you have that overarching umbrella at the top covering the whole country, but then you got right boots on the ground in most every parish in the whole country. Not quite that many, but just about.
Yes, correct. And Indiana's the same way. You know, we kind of look at Indiana as north, south, and central.
Mm-hmm.
We all have flooding, tornadoes. Are kind of more generic to central and southern, but you get in the northern part of the country, there's more industry up there. That could be the chemical spill or a plant explosion up there. So
sure.
it's we try to, from the state point, we try to look to our councils and say, you know, councils look at what's generic to your area and have your membership then start planning at that stage.
So Bill, talk a little bit about your role. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and reintroduce you right now. We're talking with Bill McDonald. He is a disaster preparedness and response coordinator for disasters in Indiana. So what is your role exactly? What do you do in your role?
My role basically is to educate and to organize our state district deputies and our councils to prepare the information for them to educate their members on disaster preparedness. We use a checklist, and again, we didn't create it. We borrowed it from all the other organizations that have been in this kind of business for years. You can go to Indiana, Homeland Security, Red Cross. They all have wonderful checklists on disaster preparedness. But the bottom line is we want to educate families, churches, schools on the importance of preparedness. And the checklist is really simple. It's what you need for 3 to 5 days to survive a disaster. Simply like radios, batteries for those radios, flashlights, food and water for 3 to 5 days if you have to shelter in place. What we call a go bag if you have to evacuate. That go bag would be clothes for 3 or 4 days, your medication prescriptions, so if you need refills, your doctor's name and addresses, your insurance policies, because if you have to evacuate, and like typically happens in tornadoes and hurricanes, your house is completely wiped out, where do you go to get that information? And you're somewhat traumatized by what has happened, you may not remember all this stuff right away. So having that, copies of all that in the go bag, that's your insurance policy that when I leave that home and I come back, there's nothing there. At least I have a basics to start rebuilding my life from.
How many people would you say, I mean, I'm going to admit my family does not have a plan. I think when Y2K came around, you know, I think I was, you know, got the water. I didn't get the generator, but I had water. That was about it. I had water and food just in case. But
that was the big disaster that never happened.
That was the big disaster. And, you know, everyone was kind of laughing. I was like, well, whatever. You know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But at least we have water and food and water. That's what we had. But how many people would you say are prepared or are not prepared in the state of Indiana in terms of population? I mean, it's like what percentage can you guess based on your percentage?
I would be surprised if 10% are.
Okay, and that's really super low. And just like you said, I mean, when something happens, you have to have a plan.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're basically hosed, you know. That's probably kind of a bad. Yes. But you know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking about, like, terrorism. You know, like, I mean, I'm wondering how that factors in, because we have other disasters that kind of are new on the horizon. Is that something that you also kind of prepare for? I mean,
that terrorism would fall into that category as being prepared for. That's another, I call that a man-made disaster. And to go back to what you said about how many people are actually prepared, I did a seminar last year, mm-hmm. For the Knights at one of our state meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this year, we went back and said, how many people have their go bags? Probably less than 5% in the room raised their hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I call, the problem is procrastination. Well, the disaster is not going to strike my home, or it's going to be a while away. I have time to do this. And mm-hmm. that's the danger in disaster preparedness, is people delaying it. Mm-hmm. You need to do it now, so when a disaster strikes, it doesn't come up and say, hey, you got 2 weeks before a tornado hits. Okay.
Yeah.
You do it now so you're ready, so when that disaster strikes, you got your go bag and you're ready to respond.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for more Faith in Action, talking with Bill McDonald about disaster preparedness. Stay tuned.
Catholic programming 24/7, 7 days a week. Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a voice for the church that's seldom heard in our chaotic world. We're confirmation for the strong of faith and encouragement and answers for those in doubt. We're there to rejoice with your triumphs and to be a voice of consolation through the dark times. We're a voice for vocations and proudly pro-life. We are Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and I'm talking with Bill McDonald, and we are talking about disaster preparedness and the work that the Knights of Columbus does. Bill, I know that the Archdiocese of Indianapolis is also involved in this issue with disaster preparedness, and that's through Catholic Charities. Can you? And I know you work closely with them. In fact, the person who does that, Jane Crady, right? She got called off on a disaster, so we're going to have to reschedule with her. But so this is real. You know, these disasters really do happen. What does the Archdiocese do with Catholic Charities in this issue?
Well, Catholic Charities, in my opinion, is that they're the experts in disaster relief, disaster response. So when the Knights in Indiana start developing our program, we quickly wanted to partner with them so we didn't have to recreate the wheel. And for us, we want to be force multipliers for Catholic Charities. What Catholic Charities does is an early response. They'll set up what's called emergency operation centers, or PODs, which is point of distribution centers.
Mm-hmm.
They'll set those up and help manage them. They're excellent in disaster management. And that's where we come in as early response teams, ERTs, to help them out. Also, what we call long-term recovery. That's where they get into case management, where they'll have to go through your insurance documents, the FEMA documents, and they'll help you get the maximum financial help that you can get.
Because it depends on exactly what happened in the disaster, but some people's house is going to be completely gone, you know,
yes.
like a tornado,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
So they got to start, like, basically over, right?
Correct. Start from scratch.
And hopefully they had their go bag, and we'll talk about that again when we get back to the checklist.
Yes. But Catholic Charities does great work with the case management and then the long-term recovery, where they actually joined with a group called a VOAD. It's Volunteer Organizations Aid in Disasters, where all these organizations come together, and then they form a long-term recovery group. And then from there, the process of rebuilding homes starts. And then those groups help coordinate that response so there's not a duplication in services, and you kept much more efficient in the recovery process.
So I'm curious, how many volunteers are like on the ground between what the Knights of Columbus supplies and Catholic Charities when you're in a disaster situation? I mean, do you have a ballpark? I mean, we're talking 100, you know, easily 100 volunteers, or how many are you talking about? Do you know roughly how many that would be? Or it varies?
It varies disaster and locations. We just came back from Florida, and where we were at there, the local point of distribution center, we are averaging 75 to 80 volunteers a day to make that work. Again, Catholic Charities was there as the management tool for that.
So obviously if there's a disaster, you get pulled into other states. You don't just stay in Indiana, it sounds like.
Well, we don't. Our primary goal was originally developed for the state of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at it as, you know, we're an organization of unity and fraternity. So when our brothers in another state are in need, we go there and respond and help them out. And while we're there, we're naturally going to help the community at the same time.
Now, Bill, most of what your program does is provide information to people to be prepared. How do you do that? Do you have meetings or seminars, or how do you convey that information to the people that you want to have it?
We have seminars at our state convention every year, and primarily it's through the social media, through the internet. We put our information out there, the checklist, and constantly try to remind our members, go there, read the material, go home, talk to your family, develop a plan, go back to your council, develop a plan for your council. If you're involved in a school or a business, talk to your business, the school, and be sure they develop their plan properly. And the main item that I always say is communication. A plan is great if it's put on paper, but if you don't communicate it to all the stakeholders, it's basically useless. So communication, you got to communicate that plan and practice that plan.
Now, I'm curious, Bill, I normally ask this in the beginning of the interview, but I just remembered I hadn't asked it. How did you happen to get into this? I mean, are you like an EMT? Are you a first responder background? Or I know that this is not a disaster. This is not a first responder or a second responder type of position. It's more preparedness. But how'd you get involved?
Well, background wise, I used to be a Coast Guard auxiliarist.
Oh, that's cool.
That taught me how to be prepared.
Gotcha.
Okay. And then back in 2012, March 2nd, the E5 tornado hit southeastern Indiana, swept through five counties. At the time, I was a district deputy for the Knights of Columbus. The next morning, I woke up and said, wow, our brother Knights are down there. How are we going to take care of them? So I took it upon myself to go down, and it was a process with my family helping me to get a list of every Knight in that five-county area and check on those Knights and verify their condition, if they were fine, if they'd had damage. So we went. That's how I got started. In that process, met Jane Crady.
Mm-hmm.
With our help from our Father Sean Willington, our parish priest at the time, we started an emergency operations center at our parish. We were just a few miles from town of Holton that was hit in our county.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we met Jane Crady. Jane Crady got me involved with the VOAD down there in Henryville, March 2 Recovery Long-Term Group, it was called. And that's how I got started. And after a year of doing all that recovery work, the Indiana State Council asked me if I would be interested in becoming the disaster response coordinator for the state of Indiana for the Knights of Columbus.
And you know what? I mean, you're a good person to do that because you actually been there, done that. You know, you really know how important it is. On the flip side of that, if you're not prepared, how bad it can be, yep. You know. Now, I want to get back. We've got about, I don't know, we got about 8 minutes or so. I really want to talk specifically about the checklist, since you said you know, 10% of Indiana has a plan or is ready. I want to go into detail, and we're going to have a link on the podcast webpage here when we do put the podcast up. We'll have a link so people can go get this checklist. But let's talk about what you need to do to be prepared, because everybody can be doing this.
Correct.
They should be doing it.
Hopefully.
No matter what, yes. Right. Okay. All right. What do we do first?
First, you need to get all your family members together.
Have a family meeting?
Yes, have a family meeting.
I mean, it's crazy, but it's what you got to do, right?
Yes. Because everybody needs to be part of it, because what I may think of be one thing, what my wife or children may think is another. So everybody needs to be involved in this. And the first part you do is, you know, like I said, you start out with the important phone numbers and information. Not only your doctors, your insurance, work phone numbers, relatives' phone numbers. So if you happen to get knocked out and they come across your bag, they can at least have an idea who to contact to find out who you are and what's happening.
Yeah, good point.
So a list of all your contacts. And then the main thing is, when you develop this, you want to put it in a waterproof bag. It's what we put in what we say your go bag. So it's there in a safe area when you need it, if you need to evacuate. And part of this is, you know, there's two things. You either shelter in place or you got to evacuate.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So if you're sheltering in place, you need to know the best evacuation routes out of your house once the disaster passes. You want to pick a family or friend, both inside the city and outside the city, that knows what your plan is. So typically, as we found out, modern communication is great, but when a disaster strikes, fires go down, landlines go down.
That's exactly right. And you're like, what do you do now? And you can't get in touch with your loved ones.
Right. So you need somebody not only on the inside, but on the outside, that knows where to look for you and what your plans are.
Mm-hmm.
So they can verify that you're all right, or you're one of those missing persons we got to go out and find.
Right. And then what about, let's say it's, well, go ahead. I'll ask your question. You have more to say, and then I'll ask you another question.
And a typical, what we call go bag, is an emergency supply kit for 3 to 5 days. That's water, food, medication, batteries for your radios, battery for a flashlight, first aid kit. Again, any other things that you think are important that you need to survive in those 3 to 5 days?
A Bible.
Yes, that would come in handy.
That would be in my bag.
And a lot of
that would have to be a small one, though.
And people with small children don't realize, in that go bag, you need to put something like a coloring book or a doll or something there to keep that child occupied for those 3 or 5 days that you may have to shelter in place. You may not have any electric, don't have any water. So those are things you need to think about.
Great point. Now, if you're getting back to the Y2K, which I prepared for, what if you're going to be hunkered down in your house? What do you need to prepare for? What do you need to have?
The same thing, 3 to 5 days worth of food, water for each person. It's like a gallon of water a day for each person. You think how you're going to survive. You're in place. You have no food, no water.
And maybe no electricity.
No electric.
And so you got to plan for what can you eat that you don't need to use the microwave for, or the stove, or anything, right? You have to be able, what's that? Like canned food, basically?
I use, in my disaster bag, I have a little can of Sterno, so we are able to heat stuff.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You look for the worst. Expect the worst, hope for the best, and that's what you want to put in your kit. A knife, spoons to eat with.
Stuff that you don't think about. It's almost like if you're going camping, you know. We're a camper, but
you know,
you always forget something.
Can opener?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, can opener.
Oh, yeah, got this can of tuna. can't get it open.
A whistle in case you're trapped inside your home.
Oh, that's a good one.
And you hear people outside, you can whistle.
Because, I mean,
good.
You don't want to shout.
Thought of that.
I wouldn't have either.
I have a portable CB radio in my bag, so if worst case, hopefully I can reach somebody on the outside through that CB radio.
Sure, and you have to get right down to real basics, too, because, I mean, everybody says, well, I don't need that. I got a cell phone. Yeah, but what if part of the disaster is the cell phone towers are down?
Right. That's so true. That's what we mentioned.
Or your battery is dead.
Yep.
Every disaster that I've been involved with, Then about five of them we responded to. That was the, and in Henryville was where we got our feet wet. No cell towers were up. Florida's the same way, just passed one. No cell towers up. Landlines are down. You have to worry about communication is foot traffic and face-to-face.
Mm-hmm. So what is give the webpage. Go ahead and give your webpage for people to get. We'll come back to this, but what's the webpage for people to get more information about this?
That would be www.indianakfc.org.
Okay, and then they go to programs and then disaster preparedness to find that.
Yes. The other website they can go to is our Supreme site, which would be kfc.org, in the same way, the programs and disaster preparedness also.
We've got about a minute 30. What are the top three disasters that happen in Indiana that, from your experience?
Well, it was the March 2 tornado back in 2012, and then we had some flooding up north. And we just recently, again, had some flooding down along the river there.
So flooding, tornado, and then maybe explosion or
yes.
something that kind of, because, you know, we've seen that on the news, you know, where people had a gas thing and they had an explosion. It blew up the whole, you know, neighborhood or whatever. You yeah. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what's it been like? We had about a minute left. What's it been like? How has it impacted your faith being involved in this? What kind of an impact has it made on you in being involved in this kind of a ministry?
It's basically strengthen my resolve and my faith in mankind, that just a little bit of compassion can go a long way.
So true. People do really pull together when there's a, and you see the very best in people.
Yes.
You know, we see a lot of bad on the news, but we see a lot of good in, you know, when people are reaching out to other people. Okay, Bill, give me that webpage one more time so people can, listening, that can get tuned into that.
KSC.org. Go to programs, go to disaster preparedness.
Bill McDonald, you've been a great guest. I'm so excited to learn about this topic. God bless you and your work.
Thank you for having us.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.